Wongawali Majinu, Saturday mornings with Adrian Francis on ABC Radio Canberra Wurundjeri.
Saturday Kitchen. I wonder if you're a bit of a fan of plant proteins, whether you prefer or rely on a plant diet dominated by legumes, soybeans or peas. You know, coconut and palm fats are often incorporated within plant-based products to create texture, the textural sensation that you get with animal fats. But the dining experience, the taste, the texture, the flavour, the aroma can be a bit of a barrier. A team of Canberra scientists are pioneering an alternative way to create fats for the plant-based food industry without animals or plants. Instead, they're using microorganisms to generate fat through fermentation. You're about to meet Canberra biochemist Dr. Anna El-Tashi, who's the Chief Technical Officer of Nourish Ingredients, which is a spin-off from the CSIRO, and you'll also hear Ruth Purcell, a synthetic biology scientist. We began by discussing first why fats are so important.
So fats are very critical for us as humans, both for nutrition, but also they have a very good functional role in food. They are the carrier of the flavors, and they are also responsible of the texture of food. You know, the juiciness of the fat, of the steak, is linked to the intramuscular fat. So the marbly look and texture of that fat will give the juiciness of the steak.
But there are a lot of protein replacements that are becoming more popular. What do you see in your travels and in your shopping experiences in this region, Ruth?
I think we start with the legacy products for protein or meat replacements. So thinking like tempeh, nuts, mushrooms. But in the last couple of years, we've seen a boom of products trying to replace the meat experience. So we have burgers and sausages and pulled pork that are trying to be meat, but they're not quite there yet, especially with the taste and the quality and function of their cooking abilities.
What are the shortcomings, Ruth?
So if you've ever bitten into a plant-based sausage or burger, it does not taste like meat, and it does not have that juiciness that we all crave and that really good feeling in your mouth. It's quite dry often, and it doesn't cook very well. So what's missing there is the fat.
And a lot of the fat has been provided to date by coconut and palm fat.
So coconut and palm fats just do not behave in the same way that animal fats do. Their melting temperature is not the same, which means that they don't cook as well in a pan. And that sort of bad aftertaste you get if you've ever tried a plant-based piece of meat, that's a major problem with the coconut and palm in terms of taste, but then also the sustainability of those products.
Anna, would you like to expand on that? I mean, what is the problem with the coconut and the palm fat industry around the world?
Yeah, so sustainability and the very devastating impact that they do to the environment itself. Like, you know, we're just getting rid of the forests to grow enough of the palm and the coconut to have enough of the oil to sustain the whole growing population, but also the demand, the growing demand on the food and the new foods and the future foods, etc. So that's one thing, sustainability, the environment impact, and also the function of these plant oils, that the heart fat that we get from the coconut oil doesn't behave the same as the animal kind does. So it's not the same as the grease that the meat has. It doesn't melt the same. And that's linked to the composition of the oil of the coconut.
We're talking about things that are often invisible, I suppose, in many kitchens and in many dining experiences, but very powerful in terms of the dining experience.
Yeah, so the fats that we're referring to are all part of the ingredients of these plant-based proteins. It's not something that we're just putting in a fan to cook with. We're referring to the fat that is intra-product here. So the grease that we're trying to replicate for the milk, for the meat, and also the fat that the dairy itself has. So all these ingredients in the plant-based products that we have in the market are not yet satisfying, standing up for the real animal kind does. So that's why the dining experience is not yet satisfied, or it's not yet met, because we don't have the critical fat yet for it. This is what we do at Nourish Ingredients. Yeah.
So you're not using coconut or palm fat?
No.
It's completely synthesized in a laboratory?
Yep.
Tell me what you're doing.
Our mission at Nourish Ingredients is to create alternative fat for the plant-based protein industry that come from non-animal and non-plant sources. So we use microorganisms to generate these fats through fermentation technologies. Once we extract that, we then supply them to the plant protein industry, so the ones who are making the plant-based burgers or the plant-based milk. And these fats, we believe, and we strongly believe, that they are tastier and also more sustainable than the palm and the coconut oil.
What has been some of the feedback today around your alternative fats?
Yep. So we're still very low-scale R&D currently, but the samples, the demo samples that we have been able to simply test ourselves in a laboratory, the colleagues' experience around us were like, they do smell like roast beef, and it was like a barbecue was going around in a lab when we were just testing one of these ingredients. Yeah.
How do you create that experience with your alternative fats? I mean, that's incredible that you can create a barbecue sensation in a laboratory environment like this. So what is it that you're doing that's simulating that kind of experience?
We use the fats that we're creating from microorganisms to simulate what happens when you're processing a piece of meat. So it's the grilling process. Usually it's a chemical reaction. It's well known in the literature and most food scientists know. Without going into too much technical details, that is not so much of interest for the audience. But it's during the grilling, we need the sugar, the amino acid of the proteins and the fat to react to create that browning that you see on the fat, on the pan itself. And that is generating that aroma, like the roast beef or the grilled beef aroma. Yep. And that's what we try to replicate in the laboratory with our ingredients.
What is the potential application of your alternative fats? In what way could they be used?
So I think the big thing is to get current meat eaters on board with eating these plant-based foods, which, as we said earlier, just don't, they just aren't up to scratch with current meat products. So Nourish is really honing in on the taste aspect, improving the taste of alternative proteins. And by adding this really convincing fat that didn't require an animal or a plant to grow, we can get make food that tastes the same or better than meat from alternative protein sources. And that's really going to help people who really care about the environment and animals but can't quite let go of meat take on board alternative proteins as part of their diet and make that food taste the same, if not better, than what's currently available.
So in some cases, could it make legumes more exciting?
Oh, absolutely. That is pretty much our mission here.
What about the larger scale industrial application, Anna? What kind of interest has there been to date from some of the big companies operating in Australia and around the world in how your alternative fat could be applied to existing manufacture of food products?
Yep. We are receiving a very, very high demand from businesses in the space. We're still working closely with them to fine-tune these fats and make them taste better, their products taste better, but also supply them with a sustainable yield that they can actually rely on in the future and while they're actually scaling up their production. It's very interesting, and when we say that our fats could one day compete with the palm and the coconut oil, that's a huge interest that we receive. And there's like the industry is just pouring billions every day to find these solutions and rely on something that is better for the environment but also more sustainable to sustain and meet the demand on the current palm and coconut oil. But also with the growing food, how are we going to meet that growing food demand with the future foods and the next era of future foods that we're working on as well?
Because coconut and palm oil are pretty mainstream, aren't they, in a lot of confectionery?
Exactly.
Big part of our marketplace. I mean, how big could the application and the demand be as a replacement,
yeah,
potentially for coconut and palm oil and fat into the future?
It's going to be big, and it has to be big. There's no way we can meet the growing demand and the population on like, there's no way we can feed enough people in 20 years with just relying on palm and coconut oil itself, because we don't have enough land to grow any more of these plants on.
I'm sure some listeners will want to know how you weigh up the environmental credentials of this alternative pathway. What can you tell us about how this pathway of creating an alternative fat stacks up?
It links back to the fermentation technology that we're using, and it's something unique because you can ferment scales in a single room up to thousands of liters, from a single cell and get enough oil, rather than having to use a hectare of land to produce from, like, grow plants on it and then produce equivalent amount of oil. So the fermentation technology itself offers a huge potential of sustainability.
Ruth, I'm sure these are the sorts of conversations you have also with your peers and with your friends. What do you tell them when they ask you about the environmental credentials of this way of creating fat?
So I think one of the most striking things I've seen is going back to animals and versus using plants for protein. To grow a chicken requires 9 plant calories to get 1 chicken calorie out, and that's the most efficient animal to eat. A cow requires 25 plant calories to get 1 calorie out, and that's basically, for each calorie you're eating, throwing 8 away, which seems like a tremendous waste of land. And by fermenting our fats instead of using animals or plants to grow it, you're just saving enormous amounts of space, which can be used for plants which are directly eaten, and you're saving up to 25 times the amount of space.
What's the appeal of this work for you as a biochemist, Anna, and as the leader of this project?
Look, this is all exciting to us. I mean, our success at Nourish Ingredients comes from the fact that all of us were actually lipid engineers and biochemists at CSIRO. We've left and joined Nourish Ingredients to continue showing the world that we can make the best fats where it's needed. And we have demonstrated our abilities, and, you know, we are receiving huge demand every day from businesses because of our good reputation in the field.
And to you, Ruth Purcell, at an earlier stage in your career, you're a synthetic biology scientist. How does it feel to be involved in this project, and what's the lure for you?
So I came straight out of academic university labs, and they tend to move pretty slowly. So to come into a company where you're making something that's tangible and real and having an impact so quickly, it really makes you feel like you're using your time well. And compared to, not saying that university labs don't produce incredible things, just the time scale is so much slower, and just being able to have such a direct impact so soon is really satisfying.
What sort of potential do you see, Ruth, for this work into the future?
Oh, so alternative proteins are the future of feeding our growing population, and indeed the growing demand for protein. As the middle class grows, people are needing and wanting more protein, and the world is simply, there's just not enough land space in the world to grow enough animals and plants to feed everyone. And alternative proteins, which need to be supplemented by nourishes alternative fats to get people on board with eating them, are the answer to that problem.
Ruth Purcell, synthetic biology scientist with Nourish Ingredients, in her early 20s. What an incredible mind she has. Also Canberra biochemist Dr. Anna L. Tashi, the Chief Technical Officer of Nourish, a spin-off from CSIRO. We're talking there about alternative fats. Absolutely fascinating, using microorganisms to generate fat through fermentation. That's not all. We're going to go back to the laboratories in a little while. We're going to be travelling with Ruth all through the ANU laboratories to learn more about molecular biology and also that fermentation process. I was lucky enough to get a guided tour. It was quite complex. I was trying to keep up with Ruth. I don't think I quite kept up, but gee, it was stimulating. And she has so much more to say about that process, which will remind you of bread making and wine making. That's all coming up on Saturday Breakfast. This is Saturday Kitchen. Adi Francis is my name.
This is Saturday Mornings with Adrian Francis on ABC Radio Canberra.